Meanwhile, he had never ceased to work at his art, but soon tiring of the studios entirely by himself. He'd never been so poor that he could not buy canvas and paint, and really he needed nothing else. So far as I could make out, he painted with great difficulty, and in his unwillingness to accept help from anyone, lost much time in finding out for himself the solution of technical problems which preceding generations had already worked out one by one. He was aiming at something, I knew not what, and perhaps he hardly knew himself, and I got again more strongly the impression of a man possessed. He did not seem quite sane. It seemed to me that he would not show his pictures because he was really not interested in them. He lived in a dream, and the reality meant nothing to him. I had the feeling that he worked on a canvas with all the force of his violent personality, oblivious of everything, in his effort to get what he saw with the mind's eye, and then, having finished, not the picture perhaps, for I had an idea that he seldom brought anything to completion, but the passion that fired him, he lost all care for it. He was never satisfied with what he'd done. It seemed to him of no consequence compared with the vision that obsessed his mind. "Why don't you ever send your work to exhibitions?" I asked. "I should have thought you'd like to know what people thought about it." "Would you?" I cannot describe the unmeasurable contempt he put into the two words. "Don't you want fame? It's something that most artists haven't been indifferent to. Children. How can you care for the opinion of the crowd when you don't care tuppence for the opinion of the individual?" "We're not all reasonable beings," I laughed. "Who makes fame? Critics, writers, stockbrokers, women."